Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right, it's about that time. Welcome to the Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, coming to you on this June 20th, 2019. It's a cold and rainy one outside. Yeah, that's Michigan weather for you. I'm tired of complaining about it. Let's just hope for better days. Let's hope for better days, baby. But it's always a good day anytime you're tuning into WKAR's Current Sports. And today is an exciting show because we are talking about tonight's big NBA draft. All right. It's kind of a crapshoot for me after pick number three. And I'm going to make one prediction right now before we dive into mock drafts. You'll get my mock draft. I'm only going up until pick number 15. All right, I'm doing a lottery picks plus one because the Pistons have the 15th pick. And, oh, yeah, some news also broke that the Pistons have added another first-round draft pick. If you haven't heard, I'll bring to you the details of that news in just a moment. But we'll go to pick number 15 and stop there. I'm not doing the entire first round. That'll just take entirely too much time, and we only have a 60-minute sports talk show to get to. All right? So we'll get to the NBA draft. I also want to discuss the possibility of Nick Ward's name being called tonight. I don't believe that it will be called. And, you know, we kicked around percentages on yesterday's Current Sports. I'm giving him about a 20 to 25% chance, and many people think that's even too high. So, Jay Billis has chimed in, and he believes that Nick Ward can play in the NBA. Now, will he get drafted tonight? Those are two totally different conversations. But we'll talk about Nick Ward and his pro basketball possibilities. I'll also touch on the three Michigan Wolverines that hope to hear their respective names called tonight in the NBA draft as well. Out in the BX, Brooklyn, New York, and man, you know, it'll be fun to play a game tonight just as to how many times will Zion Williamson be said on the broadcast? How many times will you hear Zion Williamson tonight? I'm going to say, man, and I wish I'm not going to be watching the entire NBA draft. Full disclosure there. I hope somebody tracks it. I hope there's some NBA draft geek out there who tracks this. But I'm going to say at least 140 times tonight. And I think that may be even, you know, generous when it comes to Zion Williamson. It's going to be a Zion cam. You'll see him come in. You know, what I do like as well, in addition to seeing who goes where, but again, I'm not watching the entire thing. But I do like seeing what these young brothers rock, right? You know, what kind of suit they wear. I guess the new hotness now is to, like, have something really cool on the inside of your suit jacket, on the embroidery of your suit jacket. That's always fun to watch now, you know, because it's always something crazy and wacky. Also, what kind of shoes with no socks these dudes are also wearing. Connor, when did that become a trend? You rock your dress shoes with no socks during the NBA draft. You see that a lot with the NFL draft as well. Or they may be wearing socks now, but they wear those, like, really low-cut ankle socks so you can't see anything.
See, those real low socks, I don't get how people think they're comfortable. They don't, they're not even on your feet. Like, why would you wear that? And then dress shoes are already uncomfortable as is. There's no stinking like padding on them. You're going barefoot. That just seems uncomfortable.
Exactly. Well, that's like the new thing now. You'll see a lot of that tonight. You'll see a lot of players wearing really cool dress shoes that are like suede with some kind of like metal, emblem on the dress shoe, and it looks as though they may not have on any socks. And if they're wearing socks, you know, your sock game got to be on point. Because you wear, you know, your dress pants that flood now, so you got to show off your sock game. So if you're wearing socks, they got to be, you know, from planet Pluto, and they got to really make a mark. And if not, you just wear no socks. Or you wear really low ankle cut socks that no one can see. So, yeah. Style is always at a premium when it comes to the NBA draft. So we'll talk about the NBA draft again. We'll give you our mock draft up until picks number 15. I'll give you a few sleepers. We'll discuss Nick Ward. And also, it is Thursday, and today we will air part 3 of my Jamel Journey special. As I sat down with Jamel Hill, we talked for roughly 40 minutes, and we have been bringing you different topics, different snippets throughout the month centered on that conversation. And today is going to be a two-parter for you. I'm going to bring to you a conversation I had with Jamel during that sit-down centered on Colin Kaepernick, the former San Francisco 49ers NFL quarterback who, again, garnered a ton of attention, not just in the sports world, but, as you can imagine, beyond the sports world into the world of politics, deciding to kneel during the national anthem as a form of protest for police brutality and inequality here in the United States of America. I talked with Jamel and got her thoughts on Colin Kaepernick. And, you know, that's a conversation that certainly has died down. We didn't see many players kneeling during the national anthem last season. You know, I picked Jamel's brain on whether or not we will possibly see those protests ramp up or another form of protest from athletes today. And you'll get her thoughts on that. And also, I talked with Jamel on the death of Nipsey Hussle. The slain rapper killed right outside of his Marathon clothing store in California. I got Jamel's thoughts on that death and the profound effect that it has had in the African-American community. All right, so those are the two topics that we bring to you for this Jamel's Journey month-long special. Just one more Thursday left coming next week for you guys. So I'm excited to bring part 3 to you all today. All right. So, and if we have time, we'll see. Maybe Throwback Thursday. All right. So a lot to get to. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News where we have the live stream up and running. You can weigh in below that video there. And you can tweet us. Tweet the show. At WKAR News, or you can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Here are your quick hit headliners. We start with, of course, the NBA draft. If you have not heard, the NBA draft takes place tonight, 7 p.m., out in Brooklyn, New York. The Pistons have the two first-round picks, number 15 and number 30. They also have a second-round pick at number 45. I gave you thoughts on what I think they will do with that 15th pick. I'll give further thoughts on what I think they will do now, because I think things have changed because of this news. The Pistons addressed a roster need the night before the NBA draft. Yesterday, they obtained Milwaukee Bucks small forward Tony Snell in the last pick of the first round, the 30th overall pick. The Pistons are sending the Bucks big man, John Lure. So John Luehr is no longer a member of the Detroit Pistons. He goes to Milwaukee, and the Pistons get Tony Snell. Now, Snell is due to make $11.4 million this season and has a player option for $12.2 mil for the 2020-21 year. And I do believe this alters a bit what the Pistons will do at pick number 15. Stay tuned for my thoughts on that. All right, Central Catholic graduate Jace Bowen has signed with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Bowen announced his decision on Twitter. Of course, Bowen was a Michigan State football recruit. He actually signed his national letter of intent. But then the MLB came calling, and he has decided to follow his passion for the game of baseball. He put this out on Twitter. Quote, Michigan State will always hold a special place in my heart, but today a childhood dream of mine came true. I officially signed with the Pittsburgh Pirates to begin my professional baseball career. Couldn't think of a better first job. Go Bucks! Now, Bowen was selected in the 11th round of the MLB draft on June 5th. He also had offers to play baseball and football at Michigan State. So, deciding to forego college and head to the majors. Good luck to Jace. Good luck to Jace. All right. Nick Ward likely won't hear his name called tonight during the NBA draft, but that does not mean that the former Michigan State big man does not have a promising future. At least, that's according to Jay Billis of ESPN, renowned basketball analyst. Quote, can he play in the NBA? Absolutely he can. Do I see him as being among the 60 players that will be drafted? I don't, but I could be wrong on that. He's a terrific young man, and I think whether he's drafted or not, he's got a chance to have a long professional career. It may not be in the NBA. Maybe it will. But you can make a lot of money and have a fantastic career playing overseas. A lot of guys sign two-way contracts where they are in the G League and the NBA, all that stuff. There's a lot of ways to approach a long career in professional basketball, end quote. So I think Billis is spot on there. And I also agree that, you know, he probably won't hear his name called tonight. But Nick Ward can make some cheese somewhere come next season. Okay, Quicken Loans said Thursday morning, this morning, that founder and chairman Dan Gilbert, also owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers, Dan Gilbert, was released from Beaumont Hospital yesterday following his stroke more than now 3 weeks ago. Jay Farner, Quicken Loans CEO, said in a statement that Gilbert, quote, is looking forward to beginning an intensive rehabilitation program and is eager to continue the progress he has made over the last several weeks. Without giving further details, the statement said Gilbert will, quote, continue focusing on his recovery at an inpatient rehab center. So, again, wishing Dan Gilbert well on his recovery. All right, the Detroit Tigers, they fell to the Pittsburgh Pirates in epic fashion yesterday. They blew a 7-1 lead. 8-7, your final, as the Tigers now move to a whopping 26-44 record. Embarrassing, yeah, I think so. Did you see, though, caught this on ESPN last night. Did you see what former Detroit Tigers pitcher Max Scherzer did yesterday? I mean, you know, I brought to you the story earlier this week how, you know, he broke his nose during BP working on bunting, of all things. And the ball flew up, hit his nose, broke his nose, blood everywhere, also cut his right eye. He still said that, hey, I'm pitching tomorrow. I am pitching. And he went out there through 7 innings, through 10 strikeouts. Absolutely amazing. Gave up no runs as the Nats won 2-0, I believe, yesterday. I don't even know who they played. Let me see here. Yeah, who'd they play? Looking it up, the Nats played, who was it? The Philadelphia Phillies, I believe, last night. Yeah, 2-0 the final as Max Scherzer goes out there with a broken nose and all, and dominates the Phillies. So that's an embarrassing story that turned into like a Herculean effort from Max Scherzer. Broken nose, goes out there and does work. That's absolutely amazing. Just amazing. All right. International soccer may return to the big house this summer, despite the International Champions Cup not coming to Michigan. According to Spanish paper Sport, Barcelona and Messi will play against Italy's Napoli on Saturday, August 10th at the Big House. Now, this will be the fourth international match at the Big House. Last year, Liverpool beat Man U in front of 101,000 people. In 2016, Real Madrid took on Chelsea in front of 105,000. And in 2014, Real Madrid took on Man U in front of 109,000 fans. Absolutely amazing. And, you know, those numbers say it alone, right? You kind of see why football is the world's most popular sport. I will never dig it, but hey, there are many, many people out there that do. And speaking of football, the FIFA Women's World Cup, of course, is underway. And I want to bring to you scores from Wednesday. We saw England beat Japan 2-0 and Scotland tied Argentina 3-3. Team USA will take on Sweden at 3 p.m. today. All right, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That's the number to dial if you would like to talk to us right here live on this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. If you want to weigh in on social media, you can do that at facebook.com/WKAR News and comment below the live stream there. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Oh, man, shout out to Connor Mathis, the man behind the glass, for this June 20th, 2019 edition of WKAR's Current Sports. A little Lionel Richie all night long. I had to contain myself there, Connor. I wanted to break out a dance just now, man. I love that joint. That joint just gets you moving, man.
It's his birthday today.
What? Get out of here.
Yeah.
How old is he? How old is Lionel Richie now?
Hang on a minute. I think it was I think he was born in 49, but I can double check that.
Let me see here. Lionel Richie age. Gotta love Google. 70 years old. He is the big 7-0 today. That's awesome stuff. I love that joint though. All Night Long by Lionel Richie. And I tell you what, I won't be watching the NBA draft all night long today. I feel like, Connor, after pick 30. After round one, like why? Like why? I mean, unless you're like a basketball junkie, unless you're like Deshaun Tate. You know, I talk to Deshaun all the time. Deshaun, a frequent regular here on WKAR's Current Sports from Lansing, works for 92.9 The Game down in Atlanta. They actually have him on all night long for the NBA draft broadcast on 92.9. And like, he's like obsessed with it. You know, I was watching one of his live streams last night, and he was, you know, showing all these booklets and notes and papers of all these different players. But if you're not like a basketball, college basketball junkie like that, I mean, why? You know, I'm not. After round one, I'm going to watch all of round one. But after that, and again, this draft in particular, Connor, it's a crapshoot, dude. I mean, after pick three, I don't know if these guys are going to be stars. I'm sure many of them will be. You're going to have a lot of duds out there as well. I just don't know. I have no idea. And again, I'm going to stick around and watch what my Pistons do, too. I mean, now with this trade, you know, they pick up, you know, Tony Snell, as I mentioned in the headliners, and they ship out John Luer. I believe, now I will say this, this is what's going to really make tonight's draft intriguing. I'm going to say that there will at least be six trades tonight That's what's going to make tonight fun. I have been reading rumor after rumor after rumor this morning about how it's just going to be a lot of movement, a lot of teams trying to move up and trade their respective draft picks and do this and do that. There's going to be at least six trades tonight in the NBA draft. Some people are predicting like 9 to 10. It's going to be that insane. And I'm even hearing, you know, when it comes to the Detroit Pistons, you know, I talked about on yesterday's Current Sports how I believe that they needed to make a move with that 15th pick to go for a wing player. You know, after giving up, Reggie Bullock and Stanley Johnson, they had a clear need there. They had to start Wayne Ellington. A clear need there, right? So they decide to pick up, you know, Tony Snell in this draft with the Milwaukee Bucks. Again, shipping out John Luer. I think that the Pistons may go somewhere else now. You know, I threw out names like North Carolina's Nasir Little and in Kentucky's Keldon Johnson, you know, even Indiana's Romeo Langford. But I think they may do something else with that 15th pick. And I'm even reading out there in Rumorsville on Twitter when it comes to the Detroit Pistons that they may try and move up into the top 10. I don't know how that's going to happen. We'll see. That's wishful thinking in my estimation. They do have two first-round picks, number 15, number 30. And in the second round, they have the 45th overall pick. So
what assets are they going to use to move up?
I have no idea. That's just what I'm reading on Twitter, Connor. I've seen goodness. That. Rod Beard of the, I believe, what is Rod? With the Detroit News, Pistons beat reporter for the Detroit News. You know, that's what he said. Maybe they try and use number picks, you know, 15 and 30 to try and move up into the top 10. I don't know which team out there is going to take that deal. But again, that's wishful thinking.
That seems a lot like wishful thinking. That seems a lot like trying to speak that into existence.
Exactly.
I don't know how many top 10 teams are going to bite on, ooh, you have 15 and 30 in this draft? Wow. I don't know how many teams it's going to blow away. And the Pistons' salaries are just so high. Who wants 15, 30? And by the way, here's some dead money for you. Have fun with it.
Yeah, I don't know. And it's the thing. You know, there's a few philosophies here. And one of the philosophies are, okay, do you go with volume? In a draft that when I look at it, it's so wide open. I don't know. Again, after pick number 3, after Zion Williamson, Ja Morant, and RJ Barrett, I just don't know. I don't know who's going to be a stud after that. And in a draft that's going to be so wide open, do you go for volume? I mean, do you just try and stack up as many picks as you can get, hoping that maybe one or two land for you and turn out to be consistent guys at the professional basketball level? And that, frankly, is how some execs and some coaches out there look at this draft. They look at volume over, quote-unquote, best available, because best available, I mean, you just don't know what you're getting, I don't think, in this draft. So I think that's more so where Rod is coming from. You know, okay, maybe they can move into the top 10, but again, there's no guarantee that even that top 10 pick that they could get is going to be a home run. I don't know, maybe Cam Reddish. I like Cam a lot. That'd be cool. But again, I just don't know. So real quick here, I want to roll through. I don't know if you have one prepared, Connor, but I have a mock draft. Again, we're just going to go up to 15. Throw out some sleepers as well. And Connor just chimed in my ear. See, I didn't even have to ask him, man. He just knows. I think because of what we did with the NFL draft earlier this year, you even got some music for us. So I'll let you take it away, and we'll go picks. Hopefully you didn't. I hope you didn't put like together a whole like first two, you know, rounds 1 and 2. Did you, Connor?
Well, you see, I put together a first round one yesterday, but then the Pistons trading back up screwed that up. So I tried doing it this morning. So I got down to about, I think, pick 20 is where I was at stopped.
Because I don't want to let your hard work go in vain. So I'll let you, if you prep for picks 1 through 20, I'll let you go to you know, picks 1 through 20. I'm going to stop at 15, though, with the Pistons, okay? So without further ado, I'll let you you take it away, man. is the Inside the NBA TNT Music. It's my favorite sports show on television. I always miss it. I miss it during these months because the NBA is said and done now. And I love Ernie Johnson and Shaquille O'Neal and Chuck, you know, Charles Barkley and Kenny the Jet Smith. So awesome job on that, Connor. Let's start with pick number one. Pick number one. I wonder where we're going here. Zion Williamson. I'll just say that. We all know he's going number one overall. Can I make a bold prediction? No, I'll give you the – let's just go with picks one through three. Do you have anything other than Zion Williamson to New Orleans, number two to the Memphis Grizzlies, Ja Morant, and number three from Duke going to the Knicks, R.J. Barrett? Do you have
– Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
We're on the same page there to save time. Not going to bore you with, okay, who you got at number two now, Connor? Who you got at number three? We're on the same page there, Connor. One, two, and three, Zion, Ja Morant, and R.J. Barrett. I will say this. I think that Ja Morant will be your NBA Rookie of the Year. I know there's a lot of hype surrounded on Zion Williamson. He is going to be a stud at the next level. He's coming into, actually, a pretty good situation out in NOLA, where they're not in rebuild mode. There's not a lot of scrubs on that team. That's a pretty solid NBA team, especially with the trade of Anthony Davis. I believe they brought in some guys, and they're going to be fine 2 to 5 years down the road. This is going to allow Zion to, you know, make the playoffs right off the bat, in my estimation. But I think that right now, coming into the league, I think Ja Morant, when you look at his game as a guard who can do so much, who is so athletic, I just think he's going to be more ready, more prepared in year one of the NBA. Do you disagree with that, Connor?
I think he's in a really good spot. He's going into a situation where he's going to have a really good big. He's going to have Jaren Jackson there. And that I can only imagine now the pick and roll that that team's going to run. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. That's going to be really, really fun to watch. And also, I don't know if you saw, I don't know if many people saw, Jimmy Fallon show, late night show earlier this week, but you know, with the NBA draft taking place out in New York, Jimmy Fallon had some of the, you know, NBA draft hopefuls on his show to participate in random object basketball, where they like throw random objects to a hoop. You know, one was like a crazy like dolphin cake. You know, one actually was a mannequin head with a New York Knicks cap on it. And RJ Barrett was one of the participants. And it was so funny because R.J. Barrett, they had him shoot that item, that random object item, and he took the hat off, the New York Knicks hat off, and playfully put it on his head, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to New York, and then put it back on the mannequin. And he made the shot, too. He made the the mannequin shot in the basket. And it was so funny because after that happened, Jimmy Fallon looks at him and says, oh, that was great. That was awesome, man. New York, baby. And he points at him. And RJ and I forget who his other teammate was, not teammate when he was at Duke, but, you know, teammate for that show. I don't know who the young man was, but they start cracking up like, yeah, you're going to New York. So, yeah, RJ Barrett is excited to go to New York. I can't. And I was really hoping, man, that Zion, you know, would go to New York because the Knicks, I know they have not been good for many, many years. New York is still the mecca of basketball, all right? So it would have been really cool to see Zion go to New York. All right, let's continue this. Number four, I'm going with, Connor, do you want to play the jingle for number four? I don't know. You got it? There we go. Number four, I'm going with DeAndre Hunter to the New Orleans Pelicans, forward from Virginia. That's where I'm going near. Connor?
All right, so here I got Darius Garland, but I don't think the pick's going to stay with four. I think it's going to get traded to Phoenix.
Really?
Because Phoenix needs a point guard, and they also need something to convince Devin Booker that they're not a completely incompetent organization. So a good point guard would be a start there, and Darius Garland is the best in the draft. So.
Gotcha. Yeah, and yeah, he really is, and that's why I'm actually going with Darius Garland at number five, the point guard from Vandy. I think he's going to go to Cleveland at number five. So, again, a lot of this can change, and it's so up in the air and so random because, like I stated, I think that there's going to be at least six trades tonight in the NBA draft, and I think that's being a bit generous as well. So a lot of this can move around. So you think that the Pels trade that to Phoenix and go with Darius Garland at number 4. Who do you got at 5 then to Cleveland?
At 5, I got Jarrett Culver. I mean, purely because they have Colin Sexton. Colin Sexton had a pretty good rookie year. I think they need a solid wing player that can kind of – that gives them a little bit of defense, a little bit of offense. And Jarrett Culver can do that for them. Good defender, solid on offense. I mean, he's still got to develop a little bit more consistency when it comes to off on the offensive side. But, I mean, worst-case scenario, he's a great defender.
Okay, so you're like one ahead of me then. So pick number 6 if you want to play the jingle. I'm going to go with Culver to go to Phoenix, the shooting guard from Texas Tech. So you got him going 5. Who do you got at 6 to Phoenix?
At
but
six,
you think they trade that
yeah, that's
to New Orleans.
To New Orleans. So I have New Orleans taking Cam Reddish. I think Reddish is a gamble guy because I'm really not sold on his offensive game. Mm-hmm. But with New Orleans, they have enough assets to where they can kind of take a flyer on a guy like that and not have any real long-term ill effects. I mean, if he doesn't pan out, they have Josh Hart and
right.
Brandon Ingram and all these other people. So I think they're going to be the one to gamble on Cam.
Okay. I'm not going Cam just yet. At number 7, and you can just play the jingle whenever as I roll here. Kind of. At number 7, I'm going with Coby White, the guard from North Carolina, freshman. I think Coby White goes to the Chicago Bulls. He also was on that late night or the late show. Or is it late night with Jimmy Fallon? Whatever. He was on Jimmy Fallon's
late
show
night?
Earlier this week.
I'm pretty sure it's Jimmy Fallon's late night.
Late night with Jimmy Fallon, right. Yeah. He was also on that show. Coby White was. So I think he goes 7 to the Bulls. Who you got at number 7?
I agree with you. I think the Bulls really need a point guard. And since, you know, well, Ja Morant being the best one, and then you have Darius Garland, the next best one that isn't set in stone, I think the Bulls will be... If the Pelicans trade that 4, they're going to try to get there. I don't think they have the same assets as Phoenix, so I think they're going to take Coby White there because, they need a ball handler.
Okay, 8. That's where I think Cam Reddish will go. I got 8 Cam Reddish, the Duke freshman small forward going to Atlanta. Who you got at 8, Connor?
I have DeAndre Hunter going to Atlanta because, you know, Atlanta got rid of Torian Prince to take on that cap from Allen Crabbe in that deal. And Prince was kind of like the 3-4 hybrid player, and I see a lot of that with DeAndre Hunter.
Okay. All right. And I got, Hunter going early at 4 to the Pelicans. Again, a pick that you believe will be traded, and I wouldn't put that past, you at all. You think that will be traded to Phoenix there. Okay, number 9, I'm going, and I'm probably going to butcher this name right now, Sekou Doumbouya from...
That's actually how you pronounce it. That I looked this up like 4 or 5 times yesterday, and I looked it up today. That is exactly how you pronounce it, and I agree with you on the pick.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Okay, because I've heard that Washington is interested in him, and they really like him. So I nailed that name, first of all.
Yes.
We need to save that as a drop, baby. I never nail names like that. Sekou Doumbouya, I believe Washington is going to pick him up. Where is he from? So... he played for Limoges?
Yes, he's from French, I believe French Guinea. So he is a French national. I watched some of his some film on him yesterday. He's another one of those hybrid 3-4s, and he's good on defense. He's good on offense. He can stretch the floor. So he looks like that's kind of what Washington really needs. I mean,
and Washington needs everything.
Yeah, John Wall's going to be out for a year,
right?
And right now, they just kind of have a log jam down there at, 4 and 5. So even if he doesn't play, the position he's listed in most mock drafts is a 4. If they put him at a 3, I think that's an ideal situation for Washington.
Because there's so many holes on that roster, and Washington is just terrible. That team is going to be terrible for years to come. Years to come. And it's so unfortunate with John Wall, too. Okay, let's fly through these last 5 for me. 10 for you, Connor. 10, I'm going Jackson Hayes, the Texas freshman center. And 11, Ryu Hachimura.
Butchered that one. Yeah. Rui Hachimura.
Hachimura from Gonzaga. Oh, I remember him, too. I remember him, the junior from Gonzaga, too. Power forward. Got him going to Minnesota from what I'm reading. And then 12, Nasir Little. From North Carolina, the forward going to Charlotte. PJ Washington, for me, he goes to Kentucky to your Miami Heat, and you rocking your Heat cap behind the glass as well, Connor, the power forward from Kentucky. 14, Tyler Hero, Kentucky freshman shooting guard. And 15, my Pistons now, with them picking up Tony Snell from Milwaukee, I believe they're going to go with a center here. And I believe they're going to go international. Goga Bjelica. Probably butchered that name, but the international center is where the Pistons will go at 15. Connor, what you got for picks 10 through 20?
All right, so at 10, I agree with you, Jackson Hayes. Then at 11, Romeo Langford to Minnesota. At 12, Rui Hachimura to Charlotte. At 13, I have the Heat getting Bol Bol because there is rumors that Hassan Whiteside, even though he opted in, the Heat are trying to trade him, so they're going to need depth at big. At 14, I have Brandon Clark from Gonzaga going to Boston. At 15, despite Tony Snell getting added, I have the Pistons getting Nasir Little. And that's through 15. That's what I got.
Okay, keep going. Go
all right.
20.
So then 16, I got Tyler Hero going to the Magic. At 17, Kevin Porter Jr. to Atlanta. At 18, P.J. Washington to Indiana. At 19, Ty Jerome to San Antonio. At 20, Goga Bjelica. I don't even know how to pronounce that. But,
yeah.
You know.
I got the Pistons drafting. That's who I got.
Al, you are really high up on him.
I am.
Really
because,
high.
Because I think that they're going to do something stupid. I just think that Tom Gores is going to go. And I don't think it's actually really stupid because Andre Drummond, I don't know how much longer he's going to be a Piston. They may trade him. A lot of rumors out there, even though they need to trade Reggie Jackson before Andre or at least ship the two in a package deal. But because of that talk, Goga, who actually, you know, he won the EuroLeague's Rising Star Award, multiple MVPs, strong year overseas, impressive in the European League. I think they're going to try and shore up some depth when it comes to a big man down low because of this whole Andre Drummond situation. So,
I don't think he is top 15 good. I mean,
I don't know. But we don't know what any of these players. God, that's the thing about this. This is so wide open. This is one of the most wide open drafts that I can remember in recent memory. So we'll see.
I just don't want to hit him that high.
Yeah, so you got him going 20. You got him going 20.
I'm going 20.
And, you know, also,
perhaps later.
Did you say Nikhil Alexander Walker? Because that's a name that I also...
At 21, I have him going to the Thunder. I think that's because...
I don't think he's going to fall that far. I think he's going to go...
He's a combo guard, so you know.
I think he'll go somewhere between 15 and 20, and the Pistons are rumored to really like him as well. So
that, I think, would be a better pick for the Pistons than yours.
Yeah. Well, again, I think because of this Andre Drummond situation, again, they just got Tony Snell. I think they sent a message in getting Tony Snell here that they're not going to go with a wing player.
But here's the thing with Tony Snell, though. Tony Snell, I mean, I already saw like some reporters like, oh, yeah, this is your starting.
Yep, I know.
Tony
exactly.
Snell is like a poor man's Luol Deng. This is not a normal solid NBA star. This is a rotate. This is like a sixth, a seventh, an eighth man on the roster. He's good. He's a 3-and-D player. He's not. I wouldn't, if I'm a franchise, I wouldn't feel comfortable starting him at small forward. And I have my roommate's a Pistons fan. He's like, I hope the Pistons don't do the Detroit thing of saying, we got a mediocre player to fill the need, so let's just ignore the need.
Exactly, Kyle. See, you're thinking from your logical perspective.
I got to dumb it down a bit. Yeah, Pistons. I got to dumb it down a bit.
You have to shift your mindset into this move and what the Pistons are thinking here. That's exactly what they're thinking here. This is exactly what Tom Gores, Dwayne Casey and company are saying here. We got Tony Snell. We got a wing player. Now we can focus on a different need for this team. Is it correct and do we agree
He's
with it?
Putting
Heck
a band-aid
no.
on a gunshot wound.
I know. This is what they're thinking, though. With this move, we got Tony Snell now. Let's go somewhere else with the 15th pick. So
that's
all right.
Rough.
Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we continue our Jamel Journey special throughout the month of June as I bring to you part three. I'm going to be a two-part conversation today as I want to bring you a part of the conversation that I had with renowned sports broadcaster Jamel Hill, centered on Colin Kaepernick and athletes protesting social injustice here in America, and also her thoughts on the death of slain hip-hop artist Nipsey Hussle and the ripple effect that that had and has, continues to have, I should say, in the African-American community. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. You know, we just gave you a brief mock draft, picks 1 through 15 and 20 in Connor's case, as to how we believe this whole thing will move and shake when it comes to just those picks. Again, I believe there's going to be a lot of movement, a lot of trades tonight. Going to be fun, though, to see. I will say this about the NBA draft. It's always fun to see the pro basketball dreams of these young men, a goal that they've had in mind since they were really young pups, to see those dreams come to fruition and, you know, to watch their faces as their names are called by Adam Silver on that stage, on that platform at the NBA draft is always really inspiring and really fun to watch. So to every player who gets drafted tonight, congratulations to you all. When it comes to Nick Ward, I just don't think Nick Ward's name is going to be called. We won't see any Michigan State Spartans called tonight. So, a bit unfortunate, but, you know, what do you expect? You know, Nick Ward, you know, he could use a little more time. I think he'll play pro ball somewhere, Connor. Matt McQuaid is the other name.
I wouldn't be surprised if McQuaid got drafted, to be honest with you. Late in the second, I could see it.
I can't see Matt McQuaid over... You think Matt McQuaid over Nick Ward because he's a shooter?
I think Matt McQuaid because he's a 3-and-D kind of player, which is a lot of what the NBA is more geared towards now, could possibly go late second round.
No,
I could see him getting taken over Nick Ward.
I don't even hear any buzz when it comes to Matt McQuaid, Connor. None. He's worked out for a few teams, but I hear more buzz about Nick Ward than anything. I mean, you at least Jay Billis is at least weighing in on Nick Ward. I don't – like, Matt McQuaid's on nobody's radar. So – again, he's a shooter, so, you know, shooters shoot, and that's what the NBA is today. But I just don't see any Michigan State Spartans being called. Before the hour ends, I'll give you thoughts on a few Michigan Wolverines. Really unfortunate for Charles Matthews, right? He's dealing with that torn ACL during that workout with the Boston Celtics that's going to keep him out next year. Will the team take a shot on him? What about Iggy Brasdeikis as well as Jordan Poole? You'll get my thoughts later on the hour on that before we close this thing out. But I do want to bring you part three of Jamel's journey as I got a chance to, again, sit down with Jamel Hill for about 40 minutes. And we've been bringing you this special each and every Thursday, snippets of this sit down each and every Thursday here on WKAR's Current Sports. So today, Hill touches on Colin Kaepernick, former quarterback of the NFL's San Francisco 49ers, who made national headlines after deciding to kneel during the national anthem as a form of protest against police brutality and inequality here in these United States of America. Hill touches on the controversy and elaborates on if we will continue to see forms of protest like this from other athletes.
Colin Kaepernick, he received a settlement from the National Football League. And I want to know, Jamel, because I feel like the talk about the protest and the anthem and why Colin was doing the protest in the first place, that talk has kind of died down now. Do you feel like the athlete today, when it comes to protesting for civil rights, do you feel like that phase is over right now, or will we continue to see that maybe in a different way?
I think it is far from over, and I think Colin Kaepernick's story is far from over. Lest we forget, he still hasn't talked yet, and so there's still many more chapters, I think, that need to be added on top of the work he's continuing to still do. He hasn't stopped his work in this whole process, but I feel like athletes are very activated now, not just because of Colin Kaepernick, but also because of LeBron James. I mean, he's a self-created mogul who is he's teaching other athletes a different blueprint for success, that they can control their own narrative, that they can be their own business, and, you know, that they can be their own empire. And that level of ownership, I think is very threatening to a lot of the people that have that are so used to writing them a check as opposed to them saying, I don't need your check. I can do this on my own. Or, yeah, your check is nice, but it's not going to influence, you know, what I think and how I move. So I think it's a very different sensibility these days. And the activism is showing up in different ways. I mean, you have, of course, LeBron starting a school in Akron, all the things he's doing. But you have Antonio Brown, too.
Mm-hmm, right.
And while I know people would find it weird that I would put him in that space, people have to understand in the NFL, you don't see that. You don't see players taking on an organization like the Steelers feeling as if a big reason why, because they feel like they're not getting paid for what they're worth. Le'Veon Bell doing the same thing is that they're challenging a financial structure that takes advantage of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Antonio Brown had no guaranteed money coming the next three seasons. That is part of what his complaint was in Pittsburgh. He's saying, if I am the most talented player on offense, or at least one of two, if Le'Veon, whatever way you want to slice it, then why is it that I have no guaranteed money coming the next three seasons?
Right.
And so it feels like in the football space that as you see more fully guaranteed money or more guaranteed money than you've ever seen, that they're getting ready perhaps to mount a significant challenge to that structure. So I think that right now athletes are in a really good space where they feel like they are empowered to speak their mind. Social media is part of it, too. Like, they know they can take their message directly to the people they want to speak to. I mean, I don't know if 5 years ago Kyle Korver writes the essay that he wrote for the Players Tribune about white privilege. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that happens. So I think we're seeing numerous examples about how much they feel like they want to be a part of this conversation.
Yeah, and, you know, Colin Kaepernick, he has not been employed by the NFL since 2016. Now, I do know that, and I think these talks stalled. Correct me if I'm wrong, Connor, but I believe the XFL was in talks with Colin Kaepernick possibly being a part of that league, but he reportedly wanted $20 million to play. Am I accurate in saying
that? Was the AAF, not the XFL.
Well, no, XFL.
Really?
I'm seeing here from Yahoo Sports, Colin Kaepernick talked joining XFL.
I had not
wanted
seen
$20 million to play. And the discussion stalled because of that. Vince McMahon, again, who's been running pro wrestling in America for a long, long time, he called it a dream to have Cap play in the XFL. But again, the AAF also wanted him to play there, and he wanted $20 million in that situation as well, and he didn't end up playing. So $20 million is his base if he wants to play, if you want Colin to play in your league.
It's a weird reversal, because the reason I was surprised by the XFL, because the XFL, during all this Kaepernick stuff, was this league that was saying, look, we're going to have this giant extravaganza of the national anthem beforehand, mm-hmm. and all this other stuff to make it seem like Kaepernick would not be welcome there. So it's just kind of a weird situation that all of a sudden they completely took a 180 on this. So that's why that caught me off guard. I had heard about the AAF. I had heard about talks about the CFL. But I had heard nothing about the XFL because, I think it was last year, mm-hmm. the XFL was like, look, we're going to have this is going to be a squeaky clean league. It's going to be only the best players character wise and
right.
all
they
this other
to
stuff.
Avoid politics.
Exactly. So it's just odd to me. I caught me off guard.
Yeah. And right now I'm reading here also from Yahoo Sports that the XFL is looking to pay quarterbacks around $250,000 per season, according to, They're quoting that from Sporting News. So, also, but before we hit this break, Connor, I do want to play this snippet during my conversation with Jamel Hill. This is something that we didn't bring to you all during a morning edition today, hosted by our very own Scott Pohl. But the death of Nipsey Hussle, the slain rapper, his death actually came on the day, late March, that Michigan State men's basketball defeated Duke, and. You know, it's sent shockwaves throughout the entertainment industry. In particular, it's sent shockwaves throughout the African-American community for a variety of different reasons. I got a chance to dive into why Nipsey's death has had such a profound effect in the black community and black communities everywhere here in our nation. And this is what Jamel, a bit of what Jamel had to say.
This death has even affected me in ways that I didn't see coming. Mm. But the passing of famed hip hop artist Nipsey Hussle, it sent shockwaves throughout the black community. You wrote a very compelling piece in The Atlantic that really shot down the conspiracy theorists that are still out there coming up with different conspiracies as to why Nipsey Hussle died and so on and so forth. But I want you to talk about why this death has meant so much, has impacted us so much in the black community, and also what is the truth about Nipsey Hussle's passing?
So I think the reason it struck a chord, some of us are old enough to have lived through similar deaths, unfortunately. I mean, I was a student here when Biggie and Tupac were killed. And I think for all of us, it strikes a chord when we see a young black man, and I realize he was 33, but that's still young to me.
Very young, yeah.
You know, coming into his own, growing, doing a lot of amazing things for his community right where he grew up at. Because this is not to shame those people, but plenty of us come from certain neighborhoods. You know, we move on and we never look back. And a lot of it is because there is a level of fear about what happens when you return.
Have you had that thought in Detroit? You know,
no. I mean, you know, I have always been of the mindset that whatever I can, I'm going to give to Detroit. You know, I don't live there anymore. I still have family that lives there. But it's important to me to see Detroit thrive. And mm-hmm. so I do what I can to make sure that that's a reality, because I remember who I was coming up in the city and what it meant when, you know, certain outreach programs. I mean, that's the whole reason why I became a journalist.
Right.
Is because a few different outreach programs that I was a part of in Detroit. So I want to make sure that others that come behind me have those same opportunities. So I very much understood Nipsey Hussle's mindset from that standpoint. And so, you know, he kind of represented this tragic tale that we just hear about in our community way too much, about young black men having their lives shortened before they fully reach their potential. They're on the right path. They're right there. You can see where, that's why Victory Lap is such a poignant title of his album, because he was in that mode.
Right.
You know, he'd been Grammy nominated after years of being on the mixtape circuit and becoming, you know, a bit of a cult hero. Finally, this was his big moment, and to have his life taken away and the way it was taken away, it's just hard to fathom. And I think that's why a lot of the conspiracy theory started. It was out of hurt, because a lot of us don't want to recognize, or at least we don't want to come to grips with the violence that happens in our community. You know, this is not me getting on some soapbox, coming out with, you know, coming off the top rope with some, you know, black on black crime, you know, lecture, because it's way more complicated than that. It is about the fact that, you know, we have been brutalized by violence as a people for hundreds of years. And a lot of times that brutalization that you experience, you take it and you brutalize other people. You take on the same traits that were used to oppress you. You know, it's an old adage about that, is that the oppressed begin to take on traits of the oppressor. And so for a lot of reasons, lack of resources, lack of jobs, lack of education, you know, there's a ton of reasons why this violence takes place. But nevertheless, it is there. And it was a old adage I think I put in the column, which is, you know, everybody in your circle is not in your corner.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately for Nipsey Hussle, the way it looks now from what we know about the person, you know, that is suspected of killing him, is that there was some beef between them. And, you know, him being back in the neighborhood, as great as it was to see him do it, and as good as it was to know that he cared about them and wanted to financially empower that area, you better believe there was people that didn't want to see it. People that were jealous of it. People that were jealous of him and the respect that he commanded. Unfortunately, it's a common story. The difference is that this is somebody who was famous, who was a rapper, who a lot of people loved and a lot of people knew. But this happens so many times in communities of color, or in the black community, I should say, in particular. That I think is the part that hurts people the most, is that, you know, we thought we had reached a point where at least there was some level of protection for certain people. That's not to say that their life meant more than anybody else's, mm-hmm. but it is to say somebody like this who was doing the things that he was doing should have been protected, should have been one like protect at all costs, and that wasn't the case.
Yeah, we remember the late Nipsey Hussle. Very true words spoken by Jemele Hill there. All right, folks, we'll hit our final break, and when we come back, we'll put a bow on this June 20th edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. About 90 seconds left here in the show. When it comes to the Michigan men's basketball prospects that are hopeful of becoming NBA players tonight in the draft, I think out of the three, real quick, Connor, Jordan Poole, Charles Matthews, Iggy Brasdeikis, I think the Jordan Poole has the best shot. I think that two of them will hear their names called tonight. And I think it's going to be Poole and Iggy. I think those two will go tonight. Both are going to be second-round picks. And unfortunately, Charles Matthews, I think, would have gone. But because of what happened with the ACL and the workout with the Celtics, I just don't know if anybody's going to take a shot on him. If so, it's going to be in G League capacity now. But I do believe that Poole and Iggy are going to get drafted. What do you say?
Well, I would say Iggy would be my, if all else fails, I think he's going. I think he's a little bit more versatile than Poole. But, yeah, I could see Poole getting taken late. So, Matthews probably is a D-League guy.
All right. Well, enjoy the NBA draft tonight. Again, 7 p.m. on ESPN. We'll have a full recap tomorrow. And a special guest, my former engineer Isaac Constance, a native of NOLA, diehard Pelicans fans. You don't want to miss that tomorrow. Until then, have a great evening and be easy, people.